You'll take your Bibles. Turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 14. Now, as you know, the church at Corinth was a church that was absolutely out of the will of God in many different ways. They were taking one another to court. They were just doing a lot of things that were ungodly, violated Bible principle in many, many different aspects. But one of the most egregious was regarding this table. Now, next Sunday, we will be having dinner on the grounds. In the first century, oftentimes, it wasn't called dinner on the grounds. It was called love feasts. It was taking the Greek word agape, which means a self-sacrificing and intimate kind of a love. And then when they would have their meals together, oftentimes, they would call them love feasts, where they would have this agape love, and then bring it together to where they were enjoying the fellowship one with the other and just having a great time together. However, in the first century Corinthian church, they mingled these two together on occasion. And so you'll see it, we'll not turn to it tonight, but you'll see in the biblical record that when they did that, that they were coming just to be filled. It echoes of what we talked about this morning about those who wanted to be fed but not led by the Lord. And so it was very much the same way as they would, hey, wait, listen, I need a little bit more of that of the bread there. It's unleavened, but if I eat enough of it, I'll get filled sure enough. And a little more juice, please. The bread got kind of dry. Now, that's supposition there, but I think it's not far off base. And so there was a scathing indictment against that. And he was telling them that they are partaking of the table unworthily. And so the indictment was given that because they did so with sin in their lives, and they egregiously took the Lord's table in a way that it was not intended. It was to be a reflection on this, on the just the great sacrifice, not only when Christ was on the cross. Now, in a time frame, think of the millennia, if there were. Now, in eternity, there's no time. Time is an earthly phenomenon. But let's just go backwards from the cross in our time, and maybe even beyond time, and certainly it was before the foundation of the world. Think how many millennia, time-wise, that there must have been between the time that salvation's plan was decided and then it occurred. The Lord, knowing all things, even as he knew that Judas would betray him, even as he knows it all. He knew that he would be slapped with the open palm. He'd be pummeled with a fist. He would be spat upon. Oh, terrible thing. He would have his beard plucked out. He'd have a crown of thorns on. He'd be whipped with a cat of nine tails. He'd be mocked and ridiculed. He'd be crucified on a cross made of wood that he created, and suspended between the earth he created and the heaven he created. Can you and I begin to understand the depth of love? As our brother had us to sing just a little bit ago. But knowing that and then abusing the Lord's table, oh my. So it cautions my heart tonight, as it would yours as well. And I well imagine that most everyone here is well prepared to receive of the table tonight and to do so righteously before the Lord. No sin between you and the Lord of which you know, and you're willing to say, Lord, if there's anything between you and me, shine your bright light upon it. I don't want to take this unworthily. I want to rejoice knowing that I'm taking this and it's pleasing to you, and it causes me to reflect, am I right with you? But just in case there's someone who would rather risk embarrassment and maybe not being exactly right with God, and you don't want to be embarrassed, so you'll go ahead and take of the fruit or take of the wafer. But let me just remind you of what the apostle said, that because some did that, some were weak physically, some were sickly, and some had fallen asleep, a polite way of saying that God took them out of this world.
So we don't want to just fear coming before this, but if there is something between you and the Lord or something between you and someone else, and it's your responsibility to go to that individual and say, friend, I wronged you. Please forgive me. It was yesterday. It was 10 years ago. And it's on my mind. The Holy Spirit's brought it to my mind. God would be more pleased with you withholding tonight. I have had to do that in the past. I may have to do it in the future. I hope not. But wiser is an individual who says, wait a minute, I just remembered. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I should have paid that bill, and I just assumed that they forgot it. But Holy Spirit, you didn't forget it. You reminded me. I'll make it right. I'll make it right. God, forgive me. If you are right with God tonight, even if you get right while these elements are being distributed, then praise God. And we have what's called open communion here, which simply means you do not have to be a member of Calvary Baptist Church. This is something God requires of us. So if we prohibited you as God's child from doing it because of not being a member, then we were handicapping you in obeying the Lord. So we have open communion. If you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, and like the rest of us here tonight as members of Calvary, that as far as you know, and with the open door to the Holy Spirit, say, show me if there's anything, but in the absence of any conviction, then I welcome any visitor who's here tonight and right with God, saved, to join with us in the preparation and in the taking of the elements. So with your Bibles open, if you don't mind, and I tell you what, fellas, would you mind just moving the table out a little bit? Would you mind doing that? Brother Mills, are you okay with that? Okay. Thank you. And I am tall enough to see over this in case if any of you are wondering. All right. Mark chapter 14 is where we are. Do you love the Lord Jesus tonight? Amen. Let me ask why. Why do you love him? We're not in a rush here. Somebody tell me, why do you love? What comes to mind? First thing, what comes to your mind? Yes, sir.
Because he loves me.
I'm sorry?
Because he loves me.
Because he loves me.
Grace and forgiveness.
Grace and forgiveness. Very good. Good to have you with us tonight.
Thank you. His mercy.
His mercy. To God be the glory. Yes, ma'am. I couldn't hear.
Rescued her from her, I think, tormented life.
Oh, praise the Lord for that, sister. Amen. Amen. All right, good.
He tells us the truth.
He tells us the truth. Someone else. Why do you love him tonight? Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
He promises never to leave us.
Promises never. Isn't that wonderful?
Right.
Never to leave us. All right, I think we've had a few more on this side than this side. Okay. And, oh, that's good. He promises and he keeps his promises. He always does. To God be the glory. Yes, ma'am.
He's full of tender mercies and loving compassion.
Amen. Tender mercies, loving compassion. Anyone else? Anyone else? Well, with those in mind, let's take those sweet thoughts and glorious thoughts to the book of Mark. We're going to begin our reading with verse number 12. The first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, that means they had taken the Passover, his disciples said unto him, wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? Verse 13, this is Mark chapter 14. And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye into the city, there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good men of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. His disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening, he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him, one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is the one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And now to our text. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them. I'll invite our deacons, if at this time they will come and help us in the distribution of the unleavened bread. Leaven is known today more frequently as yeast. And its properties will take bread that is flat, and because of its makeup, it has the ability to expand it and to make the bread to rise. In the New Testament, leaven represented sin. Sin is never static. It has the ambition, if I could put it that way, as it's promoted by none other than the devil and the underworld, so to speak. But temptation and then sin, when it occurs, is always has an ambition to go into other areas of life. It starts one place and then goes into other areas. And so the bread that we're going to distribute tonight is called unleavened bread, representing the sinless body of our Savior. And so as these men distribute it tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Jesse if he would word our prayer, asking God's blessing upon it. Please, sir.
Dearly Father, we are thankful for this time that we set aside within a service to memorialize your death, specifically as we think of the bread, which is a representation of your body. And Lord, we sang about this tonight. God the Son taking on a human body.
Yes.
So that it could then experience all of humanity and be able to absorb the sins of the world and pay that sacrifice with God's blood.
Yes.
And Lord, as we focus on that body, Lord, I think the brutality that it went through, it breaks my heart. But to take just the constant abuse and the betrayal as was just read about, Lord, I'm thanking you for that precious body that was broken, not a bone broken, fulfilled prophecy completely.
Yes.
Lord, I just pray that you help us to just realize the significance of this and to continually thank you.
Yes.
And ask your blessing upon this this part of the service. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for the message and song. He gave his life for me. Well, the scripture says regarding the unleavened bread, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. Amen. Scarcely will a man die for, you know, even someone he loves, and yet here's Christ who died for all of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible continues by saying, and he took the cup, and when he gave thanks, he gave it to them. I'll ask the gentlemen if they will come and assist us with the distribution of the fruit of the vine. Then we'll ask Brother Mills if he would word a prayer for us, please, sir.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special time. We commanded to do this, to do it.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
We're reminded of your love.
Yes.
It's all for the principles. It's for the fruit of goodness. How it should love you. You look at me.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
Thank you for this time. Help us restore our hearts.
Yes, please. Yes.
What the symbol of this is to us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving for this special time in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You want to take an extra one? I think that should be enough. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. With your Bibles in hand and a representation of the blood of Christ, this juice, fruit of the vine. The Bible says, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. I don't know if it's ministered to you as it has to me, even as we're in this service, but the passage of Scripture we looked at this morning was not intended to coincide with the Lord's table, and yet it does so perfectly. Amen? Talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Figuratively speaking, no, you know, absolutely. And yet the understanding is he wants us to be a part of him. He wants to be a part of us. He's not ashamed to call us his brethren in the midst of the church. And so when we read, and he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, the new covenant, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord for that. Are you looking forward to seeing him?
Amen.
I know you are. The Bible says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And in just a moment, our brother is going to lead us in a hymn or two. But we won't go to the Mount of Olives, and we won't go outside quite yet. We are going to do a Bible study or a study of that we've talked about in the successful Christian home. And then we're going to conduct just a small amount of business that we want to take care of this week so that we can get things in progress if the church so votes to do it. And we'll say more about that here in just a moment. I just want to say as your pastor, thank you for being here. The size of the church that we are, this is an excellent, and I'm very thankful that you're here tonight. Oftentimes, folks stay away, either out of conviction or for whatever reason, and you've done everything but that. I know that there are some here tonight who really don't feel well. Maybe it's a condition of the body, or it's just hard to sit, or some other things. But you've said in your heart of hearts, this pleases God. Why wouldn't I? I'm going to hurt while I'm at home. I might as well be pleasing the Lord where I am and where I can worship him as well. And so to God be the glory for that. And I want to tell you, you don't need me to tell you that. It's not the reason you're here, but I just want to tell you I love you even more for that. To God be the glory.